The passage from the Bible that we wish to consider today is found in John chapter 5. Will you kindly get your book and turn to it as we look at this incident? We want to consider the third miracle which Jesus did, as recorded in this Gospel of John. Did you ever, in thinking of your responsibility to God and of the salvation of your precious soul, make these remarks to yourself? Quote, "I'm going to try to do better." Or perhaps, "I'm not going to do that again." But to your dismay and to your discouragement and perhaps despair, you found that your good intentions soon failed. And sooner than you would have liked, you succumbed to a temptation you didn't desire. Perhaps you have said, "What's the use?" And I wonder if I'm talking today to anyone who has even now given up, so to speak, in despair. You've seen your own helplessness, your own weakness, and you're about to give up or have given up. If so, dear friend, we have a message for you. You are now in the place where God can meet you. You are now in the condition where God can save you. You're without strength to do anything. You're finding it out. This is good. But be not in despair. The message of the gospel is for just such as you. This is what God intends. The gospel tells us what Christ has done for those who cannot do for themselves. The message we have to bring you today tells us that God saves those that can't help themselves. How contrary this is to the old saying, and you know many of the sayings that we hear are not true at all. And one of them is, in connection with the salvation of the sinner, that God helps those that help themselves. This is absolutely not true. The truth of the Bible is that God saves those who cannot help themselves. And this is what we desire to show to you today from this passage in the Bible, this third miracle which Jesus did. And we want to notice, first of all, the man who had this miracle performed for him. We want to notice next where he is. Then we want to notice Jesus as he comes into the scene. Then we want to notice what Jesus says to this man. And then we want to notice the results of this encounter of the man with Jesus. It is a message which I trust will speak blessing to your soul today. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm convinced that if a man is going to be blessed, it has to be through the Word of God. And these passages that we take up, these words from the book, they are in themselves God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth. Notice now the man who is in need of a miracle, just as you are in need of a miracle if you're not saved. And as the song brought before, some miracle of love and grace is what the Lord Jesus performs. He makes us whole. And this is what happens to this man, who for 38 years was helpless. He's called impotent, that is, without power, without strength. That's a long time to be in that condition. So he is helpless. Next, you notice, he is hopeless. Oh, it is true, he is at this place, this pool, where it is said a certain season of the year an angel went down and troubled the water, and it was said that whoever first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, whether it actually happened or not, we are not told. It was something put out as a supposition, at least. But how useless it was to a man in this condition. Because he said, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." So this man, as far as man was concerned, was hopeless as well as helpless. But this is the kind that Jesus comes to save. We are without strength. The Bible tells us this is our spiritual condition. But in the 5th chapter of Romans, where it tells us this, it also says that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now I want you to notice where this man is. We read that he is at Jerusalem, and he is by the sheep gate. Ah, that's a good place to be. You know, the Lord Jesus is the shepherd, and it's a grand thing when one places himself as a sheep at the sheep gate. The sheep gate, too, was the gate that speaks spiritually of the sacrifice of Calvary. For you know, the animals used in the Jewish sacrifices were those that spoke to us and still speak to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to not only live a life, but to give his life a ransom for the souls of men. The sheep gate suggests to us the one who came as a lamb of sacrifice, the one who was led as a lamb to a slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This man, I say, is in a good position. And isn't it true that all of us in this world are in a position where we hear and can learn of the sacrifice of Calvary? This is what we need. And God has brought the work of his Son right down to us, where we may have the benefits of his work through faith. Jesus says, "Look unto me, and as many as look, those who believe on him and accept him as their Savior, their sacrifice, are saved." This man is in a good place. But also, you notice, he is in the place near the pool, beside the pool of Bethesda. And Bethesda means the house of mercy. Isn't this just exactly what this man needed? He indeed needed mercy. He needed mercy from God. He had none from man. There was no man to help him. He had none in himself. He was absolutely strengthless. But Jesus is coming there, and he's in a place where he is to be blessed. Mercy is God's favor shown to those that are miserable, and this man was miserable. Sin has caused the misery. It's caused the misery in your life, dear friend. But you are in a place where you can still obtain mercy. God delights in mercy, and he's rich in mercy, and if we're saved, we're saved according to his mercy. His mercy is great, and it's that which goes out to you right now where you are. Notice now, if you will, the Lord Jesus in connection with this man, where he is. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. His heart went to those whom he came to save. And he has come into the world for that purpose. And he goes right to where this man is. We read in verse 6 that Jesus saw him lie. There is not a man under heaven whom Jesus is not aware of. And he is aware of you where you are right now, next to your radio, in your car, on your porch, in your bed, in your home, wherever you might be. Jesus sees you. Remember this. It is true. Thou, God, seest me is a truth of Scripture. He sees you. And furthermore, not only does he see you, but he knows you. We read in connection with this man, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. What a grand thing it is to know that Jesus knows all about us. He knows all our troubles, all our trials. He knows the problems. He knows our difficulty. He knows the root cause, the root trouble. And we are happy to tell you that he has taken up the root trouble, that which is at the root of all your trouble, that which is called sin. The Lord Jesus himself knows the burden of that sin. Yea, he himself took it upon himself at Calvary when he bore your sins in his own body on the tree. This is the one who knows all about you. He knew all about this man. He saw him. And you know, he desires to do something for him. And he desires to do something for you. He asked this man a question. It's a question only of 5 words. but how much there are, how much there is in it. You will notice he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now notice the question. We want to consider this very carefully. It is the basis of our lesson today in connection with the subject, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Those who cannot do one thing. Those that cannot make themselves better. Those who cannot save themselves, Jesus saves. Wilt thou be made whole? He doesn't say, do you want me to help you make you whole? No, that is not the point. It's, wilt thou be made whole? This man knew that he could not help the Lord Jesus to make himself better. He had to have him do it himself, the whole job of it. You notice he questions, wilt thou be made whole? The man answers, sir, I have no man. I have no man. But you notice Jesus quickly responds with these words of power. He says, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Oh, how grand it is to see the Lord Jesus here in this character as the one who desires to do something for you. And not only in that capacity. He is the one who is able to do something for you. Notice the power in these words. And there is power in the word of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is God manifest in flesh. He is the one who is over all. The one who says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is the one who can speak and does speak still to those who will listen. He speaks words of blessing, and those words of blessing impart life. His, indeed, are wonderful words of life. They are words that are found in this book, dear friend. They are words directed to you. He has life for you. There's blessing when you receive it, when you believe him. Rise, he says, take up thy bed and walk. The words that the Lord Jesus speaks are spirit and they are life. Have you heard his word? He's speaking today. Oh, don't expect visions and voices from heaven. No, beloved friend, the Lord Jesus has spoken and is still speaking in his word. Oh, value that Bible you have. Read it. It is God's book to you. It has been written for the purpose that you might know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you might receive through the reception of the word this blessed blessing that he longs to give. It's through the word of God that you are born again. If you are to be made whole, if you are to be made saved, as it were, if you are to receive salvation, it must come through the word of God. If you are to be born again, if you are to be a miracle, and salvation is a miracle of grace, and if you are to partake of that, to receive of that, it must be through the word of God. Now Jesus spoke to this man, rise up and take thy bed and walk. And we read in verse 9 the results of this word. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath speaks to us of the rest that God intends men to have. Today the Sabbath is still Saturday. It's the seventh day. It is typical of rest. It's typical of the rest that a soul gets when he comes to Christ. The believer, you know, he celebrates the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. That's the day of new creation. But the Sabbath is typical of rest. There remaineth a Sabbath or a rest for the people of God. That is what is in the future, we know. But even now, the one who comes to Jesus and receives of his life-giving words enters into rest. As Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. This rest was given to this man immediately. For the first time in 38 years, I believe he really knew what rest was. You notice what happened. He took up his bed. One moment he was absolutely without strength. The next moment he was taking up his bed. He was carrying it. And furthermore, he was walking. And what was he doing this for? The Lord had told him to do it. And the Lord's word had given him the power to do it. In this he manifests a life received, strength that he never had before, and it all came from Jesus who spoke the word. We see in this also a sign that this man is converted, a picture of conversion, and the results of it, that there is obedience to the word of the Lord. The Lord says, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk," and the man did it. You know, when the Apostle Paul was saved on the way to Damascus, one of the first things he said was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And you know, dear listener, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, he has given you a divine nature, a nature that longs to please him. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" would be the characteristic question and attitude of a child of God. So we see this man evidencing new life, so to speak, received. Now, this is a miracle, I know. But we want to remember that these miracles which Jesus did were for signs and for lessons and instruction. And in it we see pictures of God's salvation. How wonderful it is to see this picture here. Now, you notice, as he goes on his way, he meets those who see him carrying the bed on the Sabbath day, and they question him. And he simply says, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk." He that made me whole, he realized that he was made whole. He that made me whole. And further on down, he finds out who that one is. Because, you know, after the Lord performed the miracle, he departed from him. And it wasn't until a little while after that he came to this man and revealed himself as Jesus. Jesus finds him in the temple and says to him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Thou art made whole." Ah, dear listener, do you not desire to be made whole? That is, to receive the salvation of your souls, to have the guilt of your sin gone and erased forever? Listen, in order that you might be made whole, the Lord Jesus Christ was made a sin offering for you. In order that you might be made righteous and have a righteousness which you do not and cannot possess nor work up yourself, to offer to God for your acceptance, the Lord Jesus was made sin for you. Oh, what love he had for you when he died for you. And this alone could pay the penalty of sin and do a work that would make you whole, that would make you to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken at Calvary, forsaken by God, on those hours of darkness when he bore your sin, in order that you might be accepted, yea, that he might make you to be accepted in the Beloved One. Have you been made accepted in the Beloved One? Well, if you have Christ as your Savior, God has accepted you in him. He has made you to be accepted. It's his manufacture. Salvation is his work. It's not yours. It's his and his alone. Would you be made free from your sin, from your bondage, from your guilt, from the thraldom of sin? You do not want to serve sin. Oh, what a hard master he is. Would you be free from it? Well, the Lord Jesus was made a curse that you might be free. Oh, dear listener, this is what I feel we see in this wonderful miracle which Jesus performed. The Lord Jesus is offering you salvation which he has accomplished, he has made. Wilt thou be made whole is the question. Will you answer it? Do you desire to be made whole? Listen, it's a matter of your will. Jesus said, "If you will not come unto him, you will not have life." But will you be made whole? All you need do is right this moment, ask him to come into your heart. That means that you will accept him by faith. Will you not say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus"?